When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he used very strong words to warn the believers of those who would preach another gospel. In verse 8 of the opening chapter, he said, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, it's obvious from that kind of dogmatic language that Paul was aware of the danger the church of Christ would face. Men would appear who would preach a different message. They would ignore the true gospel and replace it with something else. The fact that Paul used such strong terms to denounce this indicates just how serious a thing it would be. Although Paul's words were written hundreds of years ago, they are extremely relevant for the 21st century. This is the age of false gospels, and prominent among the many errors and heresies stands what has become known as the prosperity gospel. The report of the ministry of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland brings this whole issue into very sharp focus. During the Southwest Believers Convention this month, the Copelands, with three of their friends, took turns preaching for 5 days, 10 hours a day. Their message centered on the prosperity gospel. The New York Times report commenced with the words, "On stage before thousands of believers weighed down by debt and economic insecurity, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their all-star lineup of prosperity gospel preachers delighted the crowd with anecdotes about the luxurious lives they had attained by following the Word of God. Private airplanes and boats, a motorcycle sent by an anonymous supporter, vacations in Hawaii and cruises in Alaska, designer handbags, a ring of emeralds and diamonds." The punchline has to be, as stated by Mrs. Copeland, "God knows where the money is, and he knows how to get the money to you." So much could be said about this, but the most important observation has to be that what is being preached in those meetings is not the gospel of Christ. While one enthusiastic supporter may pat her Bible and say the message they preach is the word of God, the word doesn't change. The fact is, this is not the gospel of Christ. Let Scripture define the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 3, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Note here, there's only one gospel, and it centers on the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures know no other gospel. It is the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. This is the gospel of the power of God to everyone that believeth, and it is the gospel that Christ has commissioned his church to preach. Any other gospel is wrong, and therefore can never meet the spiritual and eternal needs of men. This is something to keep in mind. The message preached by those who proclaim the prosperity gospel cannot and will not satisfy the souls of men. It cannot and will not deal with sin or guilt or rebellion to God. Only the gospel of Christ can bring a message of hope and life and pardon and salvation to perishing sinners. Anything else will lead to greater misery, frustration, hopelessness, and eternal doom. It has to be alarming that the result in many of those meetings is calculated by the offering. The New York Times report concludes with the words, "At that," after one preaching session at the convention, "at that, hundreds streamed down the aisles to the stage, laying envelopes, cash and coins on the carpeted steps." Is that the ultimate aim of gospel preaching? Not at all. The gospel of Christ deals with guilt and sin, not gold and silver. It deals with man's rebellion against God and his reconciliation to God, not his earthly and temporal riches. Furthermore, God does not promise financial prosperity to his people. It is true that some believers are wealthy, but many are not. Elijah had to be fed by ravens and by a widow. Job lost his family and fortune and lived for many days in a poor and impoverished state. The disciples were fishermen, and at times they had very little. not even food to feed themselves. God does not promise financial prosperity to his people. Moreover, the Christian's greatest interest and the Christian's greatest treasure is Christ himself. We are to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. What is the Christian's greatest possession, his greatest prize, his greatest gain, but Christ himself? May we never lose sight of this. The words of Christ are relevant here. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Better to go to heaven with little of this world's goods than to go to hell trusting in a false gospel.